Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dorothy Robine, Commissioner of the Public Building Service at the U.S. General Services Administration. Also joining us from IBM is Ken Beecher. So, Dorothy, you'd mentioned earlier about the key strategic priorities you're pursuing as head of PBS. Could you outline those for us?
Sure. The first is right-sizing our portfolio. There is no alternative to that. And what that means is a combination of things, but trying to get federal agencies to reduce their space requirement and increase their utilization. Technology and other things have made it possible now for agencies to carry out their mission with less space. People now telecommute. They travel a great deal. They are not in their offices nearly as much as they used to. This is true in the private sector as well. And so we don't need as much individual space, number one. And number two, for reasons of communication and collaboration, we want to facilitate people being in more collaborative space. So it's a combination of getting agencies to reduce their requirement, but also embrace this more open, collaborative workspace. That creates opportunities then to dispose of property. When you can consolidate agencies into smaller amounts of space, that then creates excess capacity that we can then dispose of. So right-sizing the portfolio, number one priority. Second priority, reducing the costs of operating our buildings. Making our buildings more intelligent is a key way to doing that. We think we can reduce our costs of energy and operation by as much as 50 cents a square foot, which is an enormous amount. So smart buildings and more energy efficient, more sustainable buildings. Those, having our buildings be more sustainable makes economic sense. It makes environmental sense, but it also makes economic sense. So reducing the costs of running our buildings. And then the third priority is leveraging private capital. Because we, unlike a private building owner, are limited to the money that's in the federal building fund, we need to figure out a way to leverage private capital. And there are a number of creative authorities that we have. The one that we're looking at most closely now is something called exchange authority, where we exchange some property that we have that we think someone else could make better use of, and we trade that for construction services or a building or a piece of property. And I can talk about some examples of that as well.
Right. Well, I mean, you did mention that GSA has about 9,600 buildings, 8,100 leases, and 1,500 buildings that are federally owned. And you touched lightly on the asset management piece. And so we're kind of curious, what performance and process improvements are you pursuing to optimize the management of this portfolio?
Well, we have our portfolio management division approaches portfolio management very much like a commercial building owner. And we have a very rigorous and data-based approach to analyzing each building in terms of what the customer base is, what the market is, and characteristics of the asset itself. So is it a high-performing building from an economic sense? Is there a solid customer base for it? And is it an asset whose reinvestment needs are ones that we can afford? So every year we analyze each of our assets from those standpoints, and we identify the well-performing assets, and then we identify those that are not as well-performing, and in some cases we will make a decision to get rid of those and replace them with something else. So it's a very data-based approach based on the condition of the asset, the conditions of the local market, and the needs of the of our customer agencies.
So once you identify a high-performing asset or a high-valued asset, I mean, how does GSA then optimize that asset?
Mm-hmm. Ideally, by maintaining the condition of the building, and that requires investment, and that's why our budget situation is so critical. And then the fact that a building is fully occupied doesn't necessarily mean it's being utilized to the degree that we think it can be. So again, going back to what I talked about, right-sizing our portfolio, we are trying to through upfront investment where possible, reconfigure buildings so that they can accommodate more people, so that we can increase the utilization of our buildings.
So, Dorothy, for folks who don't necessarily understand PBS, your federal civilian agencies are your customer.
Right.
And I want to get a sense of how you help them address their current and future needs of real estate. And in particular, how does the client portfolio plans factor into your efforts?
Right. We have kind of a dual role. PBS is, on the one hand, we are very customer friendly. We try to be helpful to our customer agencies. On the other hand, we do have a control function. We were created to serve that role. It's, I think, why we continue to be part of the federal government, and it's almost a dotted line to OMB, and that it's with our control, our sheriff hat on, if you will, that we are trying to get agencies to dispose of excess property to increase their utilization. So we work with them on something called client portfolio plans, where we look at their portfolio and try to identify opportunities for them to reduce their space requirement. Typically, agencies are open to doing this. The problem is a lack of upfront funding. So we try to identify ways to do that. We've requested money in the budget, and I'll say more about that later, to provide for that kind of consolidation.
You had mentioned a couple of times the disposal of real property, the disposing of real property. Could you tell us a little bit more about that process and how you go about doing it? And more particularly, what's the progress in this area in terms of square footage and cost savings?
Well, I'll say the good news and the bad news. I would say the good news is that there is a strong culture within GSA for promoting property disposal. There used to be an entire service within GSA, just like PBS is a service. There was an entire service devoted to disposal. And I heard a story from someone at OMB about a trip to a military base. This is when DOD was responsible for disposal of military property, and the OMB gentleman and the head of the GSA disposal service traveled to Florida to an Army base, and the word got out that they were coming, and by the time they got there, the Army had literally moved tanks onto the property that GSA was going to look at. So we take disposal seriously. We think it's a good thing to get rid of property, but it's not an easy thing to do. There are, and GAO has written some very good reports about the impediments to disposal, and I know this well from my work at DOD. So my very strong view is that in order to do disposal in a serious way and in the way that I believe Congress wants us to do, we need to have a civilian BRAC, a civilian version of the base realignment and closure process that the Department of Defense has. It would not be nearly as painful as BRAC is, but I think it would help enormously with the impediments that agencies face to getting rid of property.
What are some of those impediments?
Sure. Yeah. The biggest, I think the single biggest one is the upfront cost of getting rid of property. It takes some expenditure to get rid of property. And you can see that at DOD. Typically, the Defense Department will spend several billion dollars up front to implement a BRAC round. They've got to, in order to move something and consolidate it, move it from one location, consolidate it in another location, they've got to build something new. It takes upfront expenditure in order to reduce the federal footprint. Agencies don't have money for that. A civilian BRAC process would provide for that funding. Second impediment is various legal requirements associated with disposal, and under BRAC, typically those are streamlined. And then the third impediment, and it perhaps is the biggest one of all, is various stakeholder interests. This is sort of the opposite of NIMBY, not in my backyard. This is, you know, don't take it out of my backyard. It can be the community. It can be members of Congress. And the beauty of the BRAC process is that there is an independent commission that looks at a variety of alternatives and identifies the best ones. then collectively Congress has to vote up or down on those. They cannot cherry pick. They cannot take individual things off the list. It's all or nothing. This was an idea conceived of by Dick Armey, a Republican member of Congress from Texas. It is not perfect, but it has served very, very well. It saved the Defense Department $100 billion. Every year they save $8, $10, $12 billion, depending on how you count. That is savings that accrues every single year and will indefinitely. We need to be doing that on the civilian side as well.
You know, along those themes of saving money, the administration proposed a bill that would usher in a new approach to the federal real estate, and that was the Civilian Property Realignment Act. What can you tell us about this proposal and how would it improve real estate management decisions?
Well, that is the Obama administration's civilian BRAC, and it is very much a civilian BRAC process. I went to months of meetings at OMB when I was at DOD. We were not going to be part of it, but they were interested in how it worked at DOD, and they tried. OMB tried to not use the term BRAC because it is a four-letter word on Capitol Hill. It is a process that members associate with pain. And so we tried to not use the term BRAC. But at the end of the day, there really is no other way to explain it other than a BRAC-like process. And that is the two key things that I mentioned earlier, this independent commission that looks at a variety of alternatives teed up by the agencies or perhaps some that have not been teed up, makes a recommendation based on independent expertise, and then those recommendations require an up or down vote by Congress. No cherry picking, just all or nothing, up or down.
You know, so Dorothy, what's interesting is so as you're educating Michael and I on BRAC, the civilian BRAC, and this Realignment Act, how are you training or how are you communicating that to federal agencies and how are you supporting them in this opportunity?
Well, we need the authorization from Congress in order to do it. We can't do this on our own, which is why the Obama administration proposed legislation. And I think there is a general recognition that it's a good idea, and there were a number of proposals from the House and the Senate to do something similar, but none of them went far enough. And I'll leave it to OMB to get into the details, but I would say that none of the proposals went far enough. The House proposals exempted a number of agencies, probably because that's the only way they could get co-sponsors for the bill. And I would say they were equivalent to a DOD BRAC process that exempted the Navy and the Marine Corps. They were very, very partial, and you really need to have an approach that includes all federal agencies.
How is GSA's public building service better utilizing government-owned space, making federal real estate smaller and more efficient? We will ask Dorothy Robine, Commissioner of the Public Building Service at the General Services Administration, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.